Hello everyone, myself Professor Reena Pujara, having an industry experience of 6 years and 6 years of teaching. Today we are on to discuss about the Apprentice Act that was passed in 1961. So what was the objective or need of this act? Before going to that, let us understand what is apprentice. So apprentice means any employer giving a formal training to a person on technical grounds. There are few jobs wherein a formal education is not going to suffice. So to undergo certain months or certain years of training in a real workplace is required. So an employer contributes by employing such people and giving them on the job training is apprentice. So the person who will be working under an establishment with the purpose of learning and exploring things practically will be called as apprentice. Development of human resource is a crucial for industrial development of any nation. So whenever we are talking about say economic development or industrialization, so in industries generally the workers have to deal with the machineries, with the processes, but there are some unskilled labors and some are skilled labors. So whereas skilled are concerned, that can be divided into various levels of skills. And one of the very important type of skill is technical skill. So we are basically talking about technical skills which are required to perform a particular job. But for acquiring this technical skills, one only having a formal education is not suffice. To have a hand-on experience on that machineries, that processes is required. Now say for example welder. A welder needs to have a hand-on experience before participating in the actual workforce. So here we are looking forward to those kind of jobs, processes and people who are taking training on the job while working in the organization. Upgradation of skills is an important component of human resource development. So when we talk about say standing second largest in terms of population, so we know we have abundance of workforce in our country, but at the same time that workforce needs to be upgraded and polished to take up jobs which are coming up. Now say a recent National Skill Development Corporation is being established, that is NSDC, which is looking after the upgradation of skills of passing out graduates who are passing out. They are looking after to polish their skills so that they are industry ready. So now there are certain type of skills like soft skills, where leadership skills, managerial skills, which are required for future managers. At the same time, there are lower level jobs wherein technical skills are required to perform that particular job or process. Training imparted in institutions alone is not sufficient. For acquisition of skills and need to be supplemented by training in the actual workplace. So here we understand that only a formal education which we have received in our institution may not be suffice to perform that particular job or to work on certain processes or machineries. So before working on actual processes or machineries, a formal training or on the job training is required. So that is being provided in the industries, in the organizations by the employer. And the person who is joining that particular industry as a trainee should not be exploited, should also have some rights and privileges. And the employer should not be in that powerful position to dominate him. So there are some rules and regulations and laws which will help to protect that trainee undergoing training in a particular organization or industry. The Apprentice Act was enacted to supplement the program of institutional training by on-the-job training and to regulate the training arrangements in industry. So here everything is well defined, that what will be the rules and regulations which the apprentice, the trainee has to follow, and at the same time what will be the benefits provided by the employer to the trainee, what will be the process, how it will be controlled, how it will be examined, and how the certification of this training will be provided. So all rules and regulations regarding such provisions are being made in this law. Under this act, it is a statutory obligation on all employers in the notified industry. So here we understand that it is a statutory obligation, that means it is compulsory for employers. But which type of employers and which type of industries will be covered in it is already notified. There is a well-defined list of industries wherein the employer is bound to or is having a compulsion of employing few numbers of apprentices or trainees in the organization. To engage apprentice as per the ratio prescribed for designated trades. So here we also understand that only list of industries, and there is also ratio designated according to the trade. Now we take an example. Say for example steel industry, or we say plastic industry. So depending on the industry and you know the trade of volume of the trade, the ratio will be decided. Now say for example industry A is hiring 1000 workers and is basically into trading of steel or manufacturing of steel, then certain percentage will be allocated. Now say for example 20% of the total workforce. So now the total workforce here is 1000, so we need to calculate what is the 20% of that 1000, and accordingly we will hire apprentice or we will allow the trainees to have the on the job training in the industry. At the same time, certain restrictions are imposed depending on the type of trade, volume of trade, number of people working in the organization or industry. What is the objective of this trade? Apprentice Act 1961 was enacted with the following objectives: to regulate the program of training of apprentice in the industry so as to confirm the syllabi, period of training, etc. So here when we talk about syllabus, so that will be you know a structured program wherein the trainee has to go or has to undergo a step by step training, or otherwise what happens is the employer may not be that keen on training that particular trainee. So here we have well defined syllabus, that is step or structured program, a step by step that trainee has to undergo, and they ensure that employer cannot skip out of its obligation. Period of training, that means the duration of training depending on the type of technical skills required. Now there are various technical skills required. One we have discussed is say for example welder. So to polish that particular trainee, how many months or years will be required? So that is duration of the course, we can say. As laid down by Central Apprentice Council, a different council has been set up to look after Apprentice Act, and they will timely decide what will be the time duration, updation of syllabus, etc. To utilize fully the facilities available in industry for imparting practical training with a view to meeting the requirements of skilled manpower for industry. So, as we have abundance of unskilled labor, that means any job which can be performed by any person is a unskilled labor. But at the same time, we require skilled labors or skilled workforce. And for this purpose, Apprentice Act was being enacted so that employer should also contribute towards the economic development of a country. And not only he is contributing to the economic development, but if we see the process somewhere, the skilled manpower will be part of his organization in future, and if we have skilled manpower then we are at a stronger position. The act has defined the terms apprentice and apprenticeship training. An apprentice is a trainee and not a worker. So earlier, all those laws which were enacted, all those labor laws which were enacted are for the employee or a worker working in an industry. But when we talk about apprentice, he is a trainee. He will be working along with other workers to learn and develop the skill required. But then he is not considered as a worker. Though he will be receiving some benefits and privileges which are given to workers, but then he is not a worker. The employer is required to pay a stipend. Stipend is a remuneration paid to the trainee for the services provided. So say in the earlier stage or in the earlier level, apprentice may be only observing and learning things. But as soon as he has some basic knowledge about the work, he will also start working because it is a type of on-the-job training. So somewhere he is also contributing, and he is also giving some services to the employer. So as a return, as a remuneration, some stipend has to be paid to that trainee. To every apprentice during the period of apprenticeship training. An apprentice is entitled to casual leave, medical leave, extraordinary leave, and also holidays which are observed in the establishment in which he is undergoing training. So now every person needs a break. So when it comes to normal workers or employee working in an organization, they have a well-defined list of holidays given by an employer. And there are regular breaks which are being given to employees so that they return fresh to work and they work more efficiently. So similar kind of approach is being required for apprentice as well, because in future even that apprentice as a trainee is going to contribute to the workforce. So here certain leaves are being allocated to the apprentice or trainee. They are casual leaves. That means he can avail these type of leaves whenever he has some personal work. So he can avail these leaves in advance. Then medical leaves, that means any human being may not be physically capable at some point of time. So he can avail medical leaves. Extraordinary leaves, here they have not defined what are these extraordinary leave, but these are other leaves on casual leave and medical leave. At the same time, all those listed holidays which are listed in that particular establishment, he will be also enjoying that type of leaves. An apprentice is also covered under Employees Compensation Act. So deal in detail what is Employees Compensation Act, but to brief about what is Employees Compensation Act. So this is basically a compensation paid to an employee or a worker who met with an accident during working on a machine or in a workplace. So similar kind of benefit will also be given to a trainee. If the trainee or apprentice met with an accident during his training, he will be also compensated. The Act provides for different authorities at the central and state level for administration of the apprentice scheme. As we know that planning policies and implementing policies is not going to be very effective if there is no strong control mechanism. So as control mechanism, we have some authorities set up, some committees set up at the state level as well as at the central level, who will look after proper implementation of this Apprentice Act in the industries. Evolution of apprenticeship training. National Apprentice Scheme started in 1959 on voluntary basis. So here when we are talking on voluntary basis, that means there were no legislative controls imposed on employer. There were several industries who bought this scheme, or maybe they implemented this scheme in their industries on voluntary basis. But in near few, the due course of time, it was required to have a planned future or a planned skilled workforce requirement for future. So the legislative authorities implemented a few acts which made this as compulsory for employers. Apprentice Act was enacted in 1961 and implemented with effect 1st March 1962. So though it was enacted in 1961, but then when any policy is enacted, it requires proper communication and implementation, communication regarding all rules and policies which are set up. So it takes some time. So it was into force with effect from 1st March 1962. Initially, the Act advised training of trade apprentice. The Act was amended in 1973 to include training of graduate and diploma engineers as graduate and technicians apprentice. So earlier this was only restricted training related to trade. But then here even people or trainees who have formal education, secondary education till 8th, they can also join the workforce by taking this formal training, on the job training. Even after your graduation, you need to undergo such type of training which are required and which are mandatory to perform certain kind of job. The Act was further amended in 1986 to bring within its purview the training of the 10 plus 2 vocational stream as technicians, vocational trainees or apprentice. So further some amendments were made in 1986 for who have taken a formal education or say till 12th, or we can see 10 plus 2, and some technical trainings are being provided to these type of people, and that also is being now covered in the Apprentice Act 1961. It was further amended in 1997 to amend various sections of Act as regards definition of establishment and worker. Now we have well defined what is industry, what is establishment and what is worker. But certain amendments are always required or depending on the market situation and as per the need. So there were further amendments made in the definition of what will be exactly called as establishment and what will be exactly called as worker, who will be called as worker. Termination of apprenticeship contract, number of apprentice for a designated trade, practical and basic training of apprentice, obligation of employers, penalty for contravening the provision of the Act, and cognizance of offense. So during this amendment, they have taken better care of certain areas wherein improvement was required. So here, first of all, see, when we are talking about rights and privileges to be given to apprentice, but at the same time, we also need to safeguard the employer. So what will be the criteria under which employer is in a position to terminate the contract of apprenticeship? Then what are the designated trade? That means what are the listed type of industries or trade wherein this Act will be imposed, wherein the employer will be under a compulsion of hiring such trainees depending on the number of workforce, etc. Then what are the obligations that an employer has to fulfill under this Act? Then what will be the penalty if any employer fails to comply with this type of Act? Evolution of apprenticeship training under Scheme 3. The Act was again amended in 2008. So the recent amendment done is 2008 to amend various sections of the Act as regards reservation for candidates belonging to other backward classes. So as we have reservations or seats which are reserved for different classes of people depending on their status. So here also we have some reservations for officially backward caste and some number of seats reserved for them. Expenditure on related instructions shall be imparted at the cost of employer. and the employer shall, when so required, afford all facilities for imparting such instructions and to provide flexibility in respect of ratios prescribed for apprenticeship seats. So now when we talk about seats, the number of seats are decided, as we have discussed, on the volume of trade, on the type of trade. So certain industries, say, who are contributing more towards economic growth needs expansion. So number of trainees required in that type of industry will be more. So depending on this, the ratio is well in advance decided. Here we are talking about say minimum ratios, but there is a flexibility if the employer wish to hire more number of employees, whatever the prescribed limit says on and about that. So there is a flexibility on that to increase seats, but he has to employ minimum number of trainees as prescribed by the government. The Act was further amended in 2014, which is again a recent amendment, replacing trade-wise regulation by a band of 2.5% to 10%. So earlier we had a list of industries or trades wherein certain ratio was allotted. Now they have converted this list into band. So say for example, band 1 has to hire 3% of the total workforce. Now say band 2 have to hire a certain percentage of the total workforce. So this list is now converted into bands, band 1, band 2, band 3, and accordingly starting from 2.5% to 10% of the total workforce, they have to hire trainee. Of the total strength of the workers, that is total workforce of an industry. Introduction of optional trades extending the scope to non-engineering occupations, doing away with imprisonment for non-compliance and limiting the penalties to fine only. Now, when we talk about penalties and imprisonment, so certain acts or certain rules, whenever they are offended or they are not followed, we can just, pay penalty for that. But then there are some offenses wherein imprisonment is being given. That means only penalty is not suffice. So here when we talk about doing away with imprisonment, that means no imprisonment, but it is only restricted to paying of fines and penalties. Allowing outsourcing of basic training and bringing the establishments operating in four or more states into the fold of central authorities for easy interface. So here we are talking about those type of industries who are operating in multiple states. And if they are operating in more than four states, they will be in direct governance of central government. DGEMT is responsible for implementation of the Act in respect of trade apprentice in the central government undertakings and departments through six regional directorates of apprenticeship training, located at Chennai, Faridabad, Hyderabad, Kanpur, Kolkata and Mumbai. So here there is a central level of authority who is responsible to implement this Apprenticeship Act in government industries or say public industries. So these are restricted to implementation of this act in government undertakings. State apprenticeship advisors are responsible for implementation of Act in respect of trade apprenticed in state government undertakings, departments and private establishments. So earlier the authority was only responsible to implement that Act on a national level, but here this is a particular state apprenticeship advisors who are responsible to implement this act in their respective states, not only the state government undertakings, but they will also take care they implement this act in the private establishments as well. For graduate technicians and technician vocational apprentice, Department of Education in the Ministry of HRD is responsible for implementation of through four boards of apprenticeship training located at Chennai, Kanpur, Kolkata and Mumbai. So not only it is restricted to those authorities who are directly related with this act, but then this act also integrates with the human resource development department. And here we are talking about those graduates, and also the vocational apprentice will be linked with HRD. And the centers that we have are located at Chennai, Kanpur, Kolkata and Mumbai. Central Apprenticeship Council. It is an apex statutory body. That means this is the apex and the main authority who will look after all the legislative authorities or say powers or needs to be disbursed on state level. But ultimately, this is the apex or the main body to take decisions or amendments in the act. It advises the government on laying down of policies and prescribing norms and standards in respect of these acts. It was reconstituted with effect from 27 March 2014 for 3 years. Coverage of this act, it is obligatory on the part of employers, both of public and private sectors. That means this act definitely is implemented, is imposed on the organizations, industries which come under the purview of government or whether they are private establishments. Establishments having requisite training infrastructure as laid down in the act to engage apprentice. Now when we are talking about apprentice and trainee, the infrastructure which is required to provide the training is also a responsibility of employer. 259 group of industries are covered under this act. 28,500 establishments engage apprentice. 2.12 lakh training seats for the trade apprentice have been utilized against 3.92 lakh seats identified under the act. That means the seats available for these type of trainings were somewhere more than the demand of these seats. It was almost 3.92 lakh seats which were identified, which were available, but then actually what was utilized was only 2.12 lakhs. 0.43 lakh training seats for graduate technicians and technician vocational apprentices have been utilized against 1.22 lakh seats identified for these categories. Now again, when we are talking about say graduate technicians, availability of seats were 1.22 lakh, but then actually who have availed and explored this opportunity were only 0.43 lakhs. The minimum rate of stipend per month payable to trade apprentice is as follows. So here you can see stipend, that is the remuneration which will be paid to an apprentice. So say during the training, first year apprentice will be paid only 70% of minimum wage of semi-skilled workers notified by the respective state or union territory. So as we have already understood what is minimum wage rate, timely revised, amended by the government. So here, whatever prescribed minimum wage rate for semi-skilled, because particularly when we are talking about trainees, they are not even unskilled and they are not even skilled workers. So they also somewhere, fall under semi-skilled workers. But again, there is a difference between semi-skilled workers and these type of trainees, because they are still undergoing, this trainees. Whether the semi-skilled workers who are already working in the industry have taken this training and working, on the floor. So they won't be availed of the minimum wage rate which is decided for semi-skilled workers, but then they will be paid only 70% of that. Now to just clarify this point, we'll take an example. Say for example, the minimum wage rate for semi-skilled worker is 1000 rupees example. So 70% of it will be 700. So if a semi-skilled worker in that particular industry is being paid 1000 rupees, apprentice or trainee will be paid 700 rupees. But as in the second year, he will acquire some skills while working or while learning or through observation or on the job training in the first year. Now he has been polished. So he will be paid 80% of the wage of a semi-skilled worker. And in the third and fourth year, he will be paid 90% of minimum wage of semi-skilled workers. Minimum age is 14 years. As we know that minimum criteria to go for any kind of work is 14 years. So even in this type of training, minimum age requirement of a trainee is to have 14 years. Qualification vary from class 8th pass to class 12th. So here there are two trainings for different class of for different categories. So minimum requirement for one type of training is 8th pass and the other is 10 plus 2, that is 12th pass. Period of training varies from 6 months to 4 years, again depending on the type of skill to be developed, the technical skill to be developed. The duration will vary from 6 months to 4 years. Training comprises basic training and practical training followed by related instructions as per prescribed syllabus for each trade. There are altogether 259 trade in 39 trade groups have been designated. Number of seats for apprentice are calculated in the band of 2.5 to 10% of the total strength of the workers. This point we have discussed earlier, that now there are some bands created. So we need to identify where the particular trade or industry lies, in which band, and accordingly some ratio or percentage is being allotted. So say for example, band 2 industry have to hire 5% of the total workforce. So accordingly they need to allocate seats for their trainees. Every apprentice and employer has to enter into a contract of apprenticeship training which is registered by the apprenticeship advisors. So they will actually enter into a formal contract, both the parties. So both the parties over here are employer and the trainee. Employers and apprentice have to fulfill their obligations under the Act. Both employer and trainee are responsible to fulfill all the provisions set up under the Act. All India trade tests for trade apprentice are conducted by National Council of Vocational Training twice a year, in the month of October, November and in the month of April, May. So whenever any person is interested to undergo this apprenticeship training has to undergo through a test which will be conducted by All India Trade Test, and then this is happening twice in a year, in the month of October or November, or in the month of April or May. National Apprenticeship Certificate are awarded to those who pass the AITT. NAC is recognized for employment under government, semi-government department organization. With a view to fostering healthy competition among apprentices and well as establishment, skill competitions are organized at local, regional and all India level. Now any person who will be keen on learning will be motivated only if the learning is being tested. So competitions are the best way of testing how much you have learned. So to further motivate this kind of attitude, there are some competitions held at the local level, at the regional level and at All India level. Skill competition is held for 15 trades, namely fitter, mechanist, turner, welder, welder in specific gas and electric, electrician, mechanic or restricted to motor vehicle, tool and die maker, die and molds, tool and die maker, press tool, jigs and fixtures, instrument mechanic, draftsman, mechanical, mechanic, machine tool maintenance, wireman mechanic, diesel, refrigerator and air conditioning mechanic and electronics mechanic. So under this 15 trades, the skill competition is being held. There are overall 126 subjects field have been designated for the category of graduate and technician apprentice in Annexure 4. There are overall 128 subject fields which are being designated for the category of technicians vocational apprentice according to Annexure 5. And the period of post-qualification training for these categories is 1 year. Seats are located based on managerial, supervisory post and training facilities. So there are also different levels of seats which are being allocated. Training program is prepared in joint consultation between apprentice advisors establishment concerned. Certificates are awarded on completion of training by Department of Education, Ministry of Human Resource Development. So here we have understood about how a technical training is being required or why it is important before going on the floor as a worker, that may be a skilled or semi-skilled worker. And somewhere employer is also responsible to contribute via training these employees or in his industry. And there are some rules, regulations, laws which are binding both the parties to fulfill their obligation under the Apprentices Act 1961. Thank you very much.